What if Christ had never came? Where would we be then? I noticed on TV that a few of the stations, I think the Hallmark station and a couple of the others, said they're going to be doing Christmas programs all day today without commercials or something like that. And I imagine all of us here have seen the classic It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. Has everybody here seen that? I have to confess, I've never sat down and watched it all the way through, but I've seen the starts of it, and I've seen the end of it, and pieces in the middle, so I have an understanding of the movie. Stewart plays George Bailey. He inherited Bailey Building and Loan, and I know through some problems, some money gets misplaced, and George knows he'll probably go to jail for something that wasn't his fault. So one night, he heads out in desperation and takes a walk, and he ends up on a bridge, and he's contemplating committing suicide, wishing he had never been born. But then a man named Clarence Oddbody talks to him and saves him. Well, they find out later he's an angel. But he shows George what the world would have been like if he was never born. Through the rest of the movie, they reveal that George's life made a great impact on those around him, his family, his friends, and his community. Had he never been born, a lot of people's lives would have never been as well off. And the movie points out that the impact that one person's life can have on a lot of people around them. Now, thinking about Christmas and asking the question, what if Jesus was never born? What if the first Christmas had never happened? No virgin birth, no wise men, no baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, no shepherds receiving the news, the first to receive the news and an invitation. So what kind of impact has Jesus made on this world over the last 2,000 years? And more important than that, what impact has Jesus made on our lives? Those of us sitting here today, in our friends, in our families. You know, it goes without saying that Jesus made a huge impact on the world. We could talk about how world poverty was pushed back by Christian organizations like the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. We can talk about the founding of a nation, this nation, by Christian men and women, and how Christianity in this nation has pushed back the moral decay that seems to be growing stronger every day. We can talk about how the first colleges in America were founded by Christians. But today we're going to get a little bit closer home, not just this nation, but the significance that he made in our lives. Jesus' disciple John believed that Jesus made a significant impact. We're going to look at that today. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now jumping forward to verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." These three verses tell us an amazing truth, that God came into our little world. He came among us and became one of us. Billy Graham says that if I want to know what God is like, I look at Jesus. You know, I believe that we fail to understand that sometimes. We just pass over it. That we can see God when we look at Jesus Christ in the Bible. We can see God when we see the good works that Christian men and women are doing in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15 says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation." See, Jesus came to clear up the faulty images of people have of God. For example, in Jesus' day, they believed in a multitude of gods and goddesses. But the thing was, they were just more powerful versions of us. You stop and think about all the gods, the goddesses that existed in that time. They were as corrupt as man. They were prideful, deceitful, full of lust, vengeful, unforgiving. And these were the people that were being worshipped until the one true God, until he come to walk among us. But today there's some pretty messed up versions of God here today too. There are people that believe that we are all gods. I'm God, you're God, they're God. We're all God in our own way. Then there's the people that believe in kind of a Star Wars theology. They think God is some kind of a force or energy that we can tap into. Maybe today you have an image in your mind what God is like. Maybe God is that judgmental father that's waiting for you just to mess up so he can punish you. Maybe your view of God is like Santa Claus, a kindly man that wants to grant your every wish. Just pray and God will do everything he can to see you have it. Maybe God is like the gentle old grandfather. He loves everybody and really doesn't care what you do because he loves you. And maybe God is that remote being clear out on the very edge of the universe, kind of just watching us with no contact. See, there's lots of images that people have of God, but I'm going to tell you, none of those are correct. God is just what we saw in Jesus Christ. The Christmas story reminds us of the love, the compassion, and the caring. Jesus himself said in John 14:9, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And to me, that's comforting, that I have a record. I can read, I can understand Jesus Christ. So think about it. If we understand Jesus Christ, we understand God the Father. It's hard to look at a defenseless baby wrapped in rags in a feeding trough and think that's the all-powerful creator of the universe. But it was, because the Bible says that's who it was. God is near. God is right here. Because of the birth of Jesus Christ, he's not some deity living afar off. He's right here with us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and help us understand the story of Jesus Christ. Jesus' title was Emmanuel. We just sang that song. That means God is with us. That's not an accident. That was prophecy, the fulfillment of what God promised. God's with us as we worship. He's with us when we pray, when we sing, when we lend our hands to our neighbors. And above that, God is love. What more love is there than in a baby? Some people think that God is out to get him or punish him, but that's so far from the truth. You see, as children, sometimes we need to be corrected, but that's something that we bring on ourselves. And I have to think, when a father says, you know, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, I believe that's true of our Lord God. He doesn't want to see us fail to do wrong, but his love encompasses all. You see, he was willing to take up a frail infant body, be born as a helpless infant in less than perfect situation, a stable and a manger. He came here to grow up, face temptation, face the evil and the injustice of this world. God knew the start and he knew the end of it all. And why? He did it because of his unfailing love for us. God did not have to come to us, but he chose to do it that way. We look at Jesus Christ and we need to realize that God is nearer than we could ever believe. If the birth hadn't happened, we couldn't have a personal relationship with God. He could still be a deity out there on the fringe of the universe. But because of Jesus, we can be as close to God as we are to each other. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." God came to earth as a child so we could become a child of God. He came to earth so we could be like him. Ephesians 1:5-7, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." God planned it from the very beginning, what needed to be done. He put everything in place. We read the prophecies and we can see things being lined up, being made ready for the birth of his son and the inevitable death. So what does it mean to be a part of God's family? Is it a big deal? I believe it is. I don't believe that God is interested in religion. See, religion is just a set of rules and laws. But I think God is interested in a relationship. And that's what Jesus Christ has enabled, for us to have a relationship with our Creator. Being in God's family means we have that relationship. We have that love, and we have the peace that comes with knowing who we are and where we're going. The peace that comes that know we're going to have everlasting life, and it's going to be joyful and without pain. You know, I believe the promises in the Bible before Jesus came, and I believe the promises after Jesus came. And God promised us everlasting life and peace with him, then I believe it. And that's what I'm living for. See, God's family isn't quite like our earthly families. God's family is unconditional love, and you can count on that. Another thing we've never experienced would be the light of life. John 1:4-5 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." The darkness that they're talking about here is the darkness around us. And there are those in the darkness that don't comprehend the light of Jesus Christ because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't understand who he is. Have any of you ever been in total darkness in a cave with no light? You know, I experienced Mammoth Caves in Kentucky or the reclaimed tunnels down at the power plant. Down there, we were required to carry a flashlight because the lighting was not so good. And if the power went out, it was pitch black down there. There was no light. You couldn't see up the tunnels to the ground level, so you always had to have a flashlight. But in darkness like that, it only takes one pinpoint of light to draw your eyes. I can only talk about those tunnels because I was down there when all the lights went out. But there was a control panel and had one red light on it. It was probably 30 or 40 feet away. And you couldn't help but look at that light because that was the only source of light in that whole place. Just like in a cave in absolute darkness, it only takes one pinpoint of light to draw your eyes. And I believe that's the light of Jesus Christ in this dark world. It only takes that little bit of light to draw our eyes to him, to focus on him. In the midst of the darkness of this world, it's Jesus Christ that gives us the hope of everlasting life, the hope of living with God and worshiping him forever. Jesus came to bring light to our world and give hope to the hopeless. It says the light of Jesus, in him was life, and the light of the people. Jesus promised we would have that abundant life. John 10:10 says, "It came that may have life and have it abundantly." So what is abundant living? Well, I think if you ask someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, they're going to tell you abundant living is having all the material wealth that you can have, the fun and excitement that you can have, those kind of things are abundant life to them. But to a Christian, it should mean something different. I believe abundant life is when we experience God's love, His light, His joy, His peace, and God's greatest gift, Jesus Christ. These gifts the world can't give you can only come from a baby that was born over 2,000 years ago. The things of this world are fleeting. We can grab them, but then you're going to lose them. Evil seems to creep into our lives when we rely on the world. But there's no amount of evil can snuff out the light of Jesus Christ or those things that He gives us. And the greatest gift of all is that eternal life. John 3:16. We all know it. We can all repeat it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we said it before, that's probably the first verse of Scripture any of us ever learned. And there's nothing any more powerful than that. Everything that comes after that one verse is just instruction. And because of God's love and His gift in that verse, we know we were going to have eternal life with God. You know, and unlike George Bailey from that movie, we realize the impact that Jesus had on this world and on us as children of God. That's why God gave up His glory. That's why God gave up His Son and death on a cross, so He could give us that everlasting life. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. I want you to think about something for just a minute. What impact has the birth of Jesus made on your life? If the first Christmas never happened, would you be any different than you are today? Fortunately for us, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God came near and demonstrated His unfailing love for each and every one of us. He demonstrated His faithfulness so we could become His children and experience the light of Jesus, the light of abundance, the light of everlasting life that only He can give. I pray that you've received the gift of God's salvation, each and every one of you here today. John's gospel reminds us that it's not automatic to become part of God's family. We have to unwrap the present that was Jesus Christ, accept Him into our heart, acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior. If anyone here does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I invite you to come down and pray with me and talk with me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank You for the gift that was given over 2,000 years ago. Father, I always stand in awe of Your willingness to demonstrate Your love by coming in the image, in the body of a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Father, You came and You walked among us. You experienced everything that we experience. You demonstrated how we should live our lives, Father. You demonstrated what You require of us. You demonstrated Your love, Your faith, and Your understanding. And Father, I just praise You and thank You for that gift. I pray for everyone here, Father, those that couldn't make it today, that they would just feel Your presence. They would feel that love and understand the gift, the true depth of that gift that You had given us. Father, as we go from here and we go to our families to share, I just pray that the first thing that's shared is the love of Christ. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen.